From scripture reading this afternoon, I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 1. You find it in your pew Bible on page 1381. Page 1381, Hebrews 11 at verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, page 1381. Hear the word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And these all died in faith, and not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The text is verses 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He ends the reading of Scripture, "Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it." Hallelujah. Beloved in the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Molly Jean, a little one who only came into this world, that we could see her some 2 months ago. But her image and likeness goes very much farther back. Her image and her likeness goes back all the way to Adam, after his fall into sin. Now, Molly Jean is not born in the likeness of God which Adam had before he fell. For so we are told in Genesis 5. There we are told in the first verse that in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God he made him. But then in the third verse we read, "And Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth." Like Cain and Abel, this Seth was born also into this fallen world, bearing all the consequences of his father's break with the Lord God, his Creator. Now, we people today, we may shake our heads over all the sinful stuff that is going on in these days in our world, but it wasn't any different in the days of the first Seth. For in Genesis 6 verse 5, we're told that, and I quote, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Already at that time, there wasn't any let up of the evil imaginations of the thoughts in people's hearts. And nothing has changed today. Molly Jean has not only been born into such a world, she is also by nature part of this world. As we have confessed already in the form of baptism, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath in so much that we cannot enter the kingdom of God except we be born again. Well, here the other world enters the picture, the kingdom of God. The first world, that fallen world, lies in the power of the evil one. It is the dominion of darkness and death, of spiritual wickedness in high places. But the kingdom of God is where the Creator of heaven and earth rules in holiness and pure light, and where there is pure joy and abundant life. There is no connecting link between these two worlds, no bridge, no causeway. Instead, there is, says Abraham to the rich man in Luke 16, "Between us and you a great gulf fixed, so that they who want to pass from here to you cannot, and nor can those from there pass to us." And there is only one way to cross that great gulf, namely when on the basis of his Son's saving work, God the Father delivers people from the power of darkness and carries them through the deep waters into the kingdom of his dear Son. And of course that refers to the deliverance out of Egypt through the Red Sea, through the deep waters. But that also speaks of baptism. How then can Molly Jean have been born into two worlds? Well, if you are in the one, how can you be in the other? Well, that's true. And so maybe it's not a precise way of speaking that she's born into two worlds. But Molly Jean is also born in the home of a family who confessed to belong with body and soul to Jesus Christ. She's born in the home of Chris and Kristen, who have put the saving and cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the doorposts of their home. She is born in a family who by the grace of God confesses to have been led out of the house of bondage, out of the bondage of sin, into the liberty of the children of God. And so Molly Jean is living with parents who, by grace, according to their own confession, are in the kingdom of God. And you, his parent, her parents, you live as strangers, as sojourners here in this world. But you are not of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven, in the kingdom of God. And so, as parents of Molly Jean, you are living here on earth in the same way as Abraham and Sarah were in Canaan, of whom it is written that by faith they journeyed to in the land of promise as in a strange country. Abraham and Sarah are living out of the same promises which Abraham first received. And so you as parents are also living out of the same promises, that you are heirs of the world. And that is right. And you may feel embarrassed that I address you that way, but this, after all, is the baptism day of your fifth child. And so you, Chris and Kirsten, together with all believers in Christ, have received a promise through Abraham that you shall inherit the earth. For it says, Psalm 37, verse 9, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And the Lord Jesus teaches the same thing, saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And this promise to Abraham is, we are told in Romans 4, 16, of faith, that it may rest on grace. Abraham was not given the promise or inheriting the earth because of his works, of his obedience, but by grace through Christ. And he entered that promise by faith. And says verse 16, that promise is sure to all the seed, not only to the offspring of Abraham by nature, that is by Jews, but also to the offspring of Abraham by faith, which are all believing Gentiles and their children. And that is why, in a way of speaking, Molly Jean, together with all covenant children, is born into two worlds. She's living in the midst of this fallen world. And yes, that fallen world is even in her through original sin. But at the same time, she is living and she is being raised in the home of kingdom parents and in the larger fellowship of the church, God's people. And therefore, as she grows up, she will experience the tension of being in these two worlds, a tension which is known by all God's people. For there is, on the one hand, the pull of the fallen world through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And there is, on the other hand, the powerful a call by the Lord God. For one thing is absolutely sure about Molly Jean. To her belongs the promise of God of being heir of the world. Just as this promise is sure to all you covenant children. The word of God then is proclaimed to you this afternoon under the theme, the promise of being heir of the world is sure to all covenant people. The promise of being heir of the world is sure to all covenant people. And first we look at the sure promise as call. So now I want to ask you children and young people a few questions at this point. Is it important for you to know that you are a covenant child? And you say, covenant child? Well, that's the other question. What do you think is the difference, if any, between a children of unbelievers and a children of believers? Another question. Are you able to tell other children, other young people, what is so special about being a covenant child? And the answer to all these questions, yes, it is very important to know that you're a covenant child. And why is that important? What is so special about being a covenant child? Well, this, that the Lord God has made the same promise to you which he first made to Abraham thousands of years ago. And what is that promise that he made to Abraham? This, that Abraham and all his children down the generations would be the heirs of the world. And that means that there will come a point in time that Abraham and all who believe like him will have possession of this whole cosmos. Not just the earth, the whole cosmos. All the stars and the moons and the suns. But that is not this world. That is not this cosmos. No, that's the one that is made new by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God made that promise to Abraham close to 4,000 years ago. And that promise still stands. So let's make this promise a little clearer to ourselves. First of all, the Lord God says to Abraham, come, follow me, and your offspring will inherit the world. For that's what the text says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go out to the place which he would afterwards receive as an inheritance. The Lord God called Abraham and he said, come this way, Abraham. And that same call comes to all covenant people. God made a covenant with Abraham, an agreement with a promise. And not only with Abraham, but in Abraham also with all who would believe like Abraham and with their children. And so also to you all covenant children here this afternoon, and to all you covenant people here this afternoon, the Lord God continues to be committed to his promises that all you covenant people shall inherit the world, the whole cosmos, made new by the Lord Jesus when he returns. For says the scripture, the promise of God is sure, certain, to all the seed. So once again, what is so special about being a covenant child? This, that it is for sure that the Lord God is also calling you to follow him, out of this world into his world, his kingdom. Well, maybe you say that you haven't heard that voice calling you, not even within your heart. And maybe you say that, I hope not that you're not saying that, but perhaps you say, I'm not sure that the Lord God exists. But that doesn't matter what you think or what you feel. God's word says very clearly that when you're a covenant child, the Lord God is calling you to his kingdom and to his world. Even when you were once a covenant child and now you're an adult and maybe you haven't paid attention to the Lord for a long time, then it is still true that the Lord God is calling you. For he never stops calling his covenant people. He keeps on calling them till the end of their life. And what does it mean that he keeps calling you? Well, it means that you are welcome at his place. There are always covenant people who wonder whether the Lord will truly receive them. They are not sure, for they say that they haven't had any experience of that welcome. And they can tell you about other people who have had deeply moving spiritual experiences, which made it absolutely clear that those people are born again. But then they say, me? I haven't had such an experience. But dearly beloved, covenant people do not need such inner experiences. For they have the sure word of God with the sure promise of the covenant. God calls you just as he is calling little Molly Jean. He baptized her. I didn't. The Lord did. I was just his hands. The Lord baptized her as a sign and seal of his call and his sure promise to her, so that he has established to her by both his word and by the sign and seal of his sacrament that his call to her is forever. And that he has done to all who are baptized in the name of the triune God. And so what then is the first thing that a covenant child is called upon to do? To believe that the Lord God is calling her, is calling him. Remember, children, the first thing you are to do as covenant child is to believe that the Lord God is calling you to himself with the promise of his kingdom. And what is the second thing that we are to do? It is to obey him. For obedience always follows through faith. Now, it is not this way that you first have to obey before he will have you. No, he calls you and then you obey. He's first, you're second. I will give you an example of action following faith. Very simple. At one time or another, you may have seen a police cruiser with flashing lights parked behind a car off to the side of the road. You know what happened, don't you? The police officer wanted to investigate that car or that driver. So what did the officer do? Well, he put on his flashing lights. And those flashing lights, when they're not going this way anymore, they go this way now, sorry. And those flashing lights, they are a message to the driver of the car, pull over, I want to talk to you. Well, most times, the driver sees those lights and he gets the message, so he pulls over and stops. He believes the message of the lights and he obeys. Believing is normally accompanied by obeying. So now you know that the Lord God is calling you to himself, and therefore you now have to decide what you're going to do. The Lord God is calling you. Are you going to obey the Lord? Not all people who see the flashing lights of a cruiser obey. And some race away trying to escape from the police. And some make it, and most of them end up crashing. But what happens when the Lord God calls me, but I refuse to obey, and I race away? Well, then I end up in big eternal trouble. But two things. I can never get away from the Lord, while at the same time, the Lord God keeps calling me, even if I'm running away the rest of my life. For he never breaks his promises. But to keep running away from the Lord God is not a wise thing to do. For why does the Lord God call all his covenant children? Because he desires that they may have abundant and eternal life through his son Jesus Christ. So the first thing about being a covenant child is that the Lord God surely calls you. And the second thing is that he demands that we obey him and follow him. That brings us secondly to the heart of the call. Now, some of you may think, why is it so difficult to obey the Lord God when he calls his covenant children? Is it not for our good that he calls us? Is it not for our salvation? So why should I run away from him? Why do people find it such a hard thing to obey him by faith? Well, the answer to that question we find in the words of the original call by the Lord God to Abraham, as it is found in Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, when the Lord God calls Abraham, He calls Abraham away from his country, from his kindred, and his father's house. The Lord God commands that Abraham leave his home country, the area where he has grown up. But Abraham doesn't know ahead of time where he will end up. For the Lord God will lead him to where he has to go, but he doesn't tell him ahead of time. He doesn't show him a video of where he's going to go. No, and he doesn't show him where he will live. Just imagine that you get a call like that, having to move. You do not know where. But that's not all. The call to Abraham to move out of his country is at the same time a call to leave behind the gods which Abraham has served and worshipped from his youth on. He has to leave his religion behind. He has to change the way he has always understood and approached life. From now on, he is to understand life and creation only in the light of God's word and worship only Him. Abraham is to leave behind everything he's familiar with, and he's to entrust himself completely to this one God whom he has just come to know. Just imagine, Abraham has never heard about this God. Then this God calls, and he says, "Abraham, Abraham, follow me. I will take you to another place." So Abraham is called to leave the world as he has always known it in order to follow the Lord God who is leading him to a totally different world. Now, secondly, Abraham is to leave his kindred. That means his immediate family, his brothers and sisters, his parents, his in-laws. He has to leave them. He has to leave his brother Nahor, the family of his dead brother Haran. In those days, that was never done. When families moved, they moved together, at least with the closest relatives. I've heard this from immigrants too. When one of the children wanted to go to Canada, then the parents said, "Well, if you're going, then all of us are going. You're not going alone." Well, that's the way it was in the days of Abraham. But now Abraham can only take one relative with him, his nephew named Lot, whose father had died. And by moving away like that, Abraham has cut the ties of the family relations. And why? Because this new God calls him away from his old world. And thirdly, Abraham has to leave also his father's house, that is, his extended family. Now, some of us here have a lot of uncles and aunts and cousins and second cousins all around us. One of the consistory members said to me, "It's going to be full church," he said, "because when the youngs have a baptism, then everybody comes, the whole extended family." Well, it's nice to have, you don't know how nice you have it with all your extended family, cousins and uncles and aunts and all that. It was mentioned that my wife and I were married 57 years ago today. And when we got married, there was no relative from my side, and there was no relative from my wife's side. That's kind of lonely. No, we had but people of the church, and so, and that was fine, that was good, and we survived. Now we have our own kind of extended family. But just think of it. All of you who have so much relatives around here, that you have to move out and leave them all behind. And so, the Lord says, "Go." Abraham says, "This is my community. This is where I belong." The Lord says, "Go." And Abraham says, "There will be no protection for me by my extended family. I will no longer have an established place in life." And again, all because of the call of this God who has started to reveal himself to Abraham. Well, today, the same call goes out to various people to be missionaries and preachers in various places in this world. We have Fred and Aline Jungmann here in our midst, and I don't know how it was when they went the first time to Quito, Ecuador. I doubt that they knew anybody there, and they had to start from scratch as far as community was concerned, leave their friends and relatives behind, leave their children behind. Now, the same is true for those who come to faith through the ministry of those missionaries. And you have to think about those new believers. And they have also heard God's call. And so now they have stopped worshiping their tribal gods or whatever they were worshiping. And they have stopped participating in old pagan customs and rituals of their communities. And in doing so, they have also, in a way, cut themselves off from their communities, from their parents, from their brothers and sisters. They have even become cut off from the communities, all because they are now following the Lord Jesus Christ. They have left their world of idols, believing that the Lord God has also given them the promise of the kingdom, the promise that the true future is with Him alone. And they have come to believe all this, and thus by faith they now obey the Lord God and they leave their old world. And the heart of the call of God then is His command to trust in Him alone and to follow Him as He directs our path by way of His Word and Spirit. We live as covenant people, also as covenant children in this world. But the Lord God calls us and He says, do not follow the ways of this world, but follow me. And the Lord Jesus even puts it this way. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. When the Lord God calls His covenant people through His sure promise, then He demands that they choose Him above the world around them, that they choose Him above immediate family, that they choose Him above all their extended family and friends. Now, that's not an easy matter, for there is the evil one who seeks to pull God's covenant children the other way. He shows us all the glories and the fun of this world, and he continually tempts covenant children, covenant people with all kinds of things and relationships in this world. If only we will ignore the call of the Lord our God and follow the world. The things themselves which are offered to us, they may not be bad or wrong, but when they lead us to be disobedient to the call of God, well, then we are called upon to leave all that behind and have nothing to do with them, whether it is a good job or a love relationship or progress in sport. You know, maybe you are a very good goalie in your bantam team, but then if you go up, they want you to play on Sunday, and then you can go and they train you further, and maybe you get into junior hockey, and maybe you get to the American Hockey League, and maybe even to the National Hockey League. No, the Lord says, come. When Abraham leaves his country, his immediate family, his extended family and friends, he doesn't know where he will end up. He doesn't know how it will go with him. The only security that he has is the call of this Lord God and his promise that he, Abraham, will inherit the earth and be the father of many nations. And all he has is this promise of God. And Abraham believes that promise. And in obedience of faith, he leaves it all and he follows the Lord. Now the same call comes to us today, also to little Molly Jean. It's a call which leaves no room for now and then or for an in-between response. No half and half obedience will do. So what are you and I going to do with this call? We all live in this world, but we're also called out of this world and to follow the Lord God to His world, His kingdom. And here we come to the last point, to the power of that call. For this call of the Lord God to people is sovereign and mighty. And we have examples of that in God's Word. There is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who walks along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea because they're fishers. And he calls them and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what do these brothers do? Well, they first go and talk to their wives, and then they go and talk to their lawyers, and then they go, no. They immediately forsake their nets and they follow him. And what that means that from one moment to the next, they leave their job, their living, their business. They follow the Lord. Peter is married. He doesn't even go first home and talk it over with his wife. No, the brothers immediately leave their nets behind, answer the call of Jesus. And that's because the call is so powerful. The same happens with the brothers John and James, who also immediately leave their ship and their father and the hired servants when called. When the Lord Jesus calls you, then the power of the sovereign grace goes out to you. One man who tried to resist that sovereign call was the prophet Jonah. And the Lord called Jonah to go to Nineveh, to go east to Nineveh, to preach the destruction of that great city. And Jonah refused to go. And he went west on the ship. Well, you know the story. How the Lord God caused a great storm. And how in the end Jonah was thrown overboard. But by grace was swallowed up by a big fish. When God calls, he is very serious about it. When he calls people, then there is really no choice. You can never say to the Lord, "Well, I'll seriously think about it. Give me a few days. I will seriously think on whether I will leave this world, leave everything behind, follow thee." If the Lord God calls, then there has to be an immediate, "Yes, Lord," or there is instant rebellion. There is no now and then. There is no in between. No half and half obedience will do. When the Lord God calls people in heathen countries, then he calls them with such a mighty working of faith that they are able to tear themselves loose from the superstitions and the evil ways in which they have been imprisoned for years. And then he calls them with such a mighty working of faith that they tear themselves loose from their brothers and sisters and father and mother, and yet from their communities where they have grown up. They leave social and financial security behind, and they trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, for their daily bread. Beloved, this call of the Lord God is so powerful that people rather suffer torture than forsake him who has called them. Yes, they rather lose their life than forsake the Lord God. Do we know the strength of that call? It's this very same call which has come to Molly Jean and to her siblings and to all our covenant children. Molly Jean, from the very beginning of her life, it's that same mighty call which has now been sealed unto her through baptism. It's that same powerful call which calls all God's covenant people day after day, and especially during the worship services on the Lord's Day. And it was that same powerful call which went out from the Lord Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. But they would not listen. And in the same way today, the Lord never ceases to call His covenant children, also every one of you, seeking to bring you all from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Of course, this continuous sovereign calling in grace rests only in the suffering and death and perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point at this time is that the Lord God calls all of us. Do we believe that? Do we follow in the obedience of faith? Will Molly Jean and all our little ones have here in this congregation a communion of saints which follows the Lord, trusting His sure promise that they shall inherit the earth? Yes, we have been born into two worlds. But let us all humble our hearts and answer His call anew, believing that He shall carry us across the great gulf from this dark world to the glorious kingdom of His beloved Son. And let our hope be in His grace and in His sure promise, and we shall not be ashamed, no matter what our journeys through this world and this life may bring. Let us then commit ourselves to the God of Abraham, with the words of Psalm 30 that we will now sing. Amen. Now go in peace, bearing the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.